I can feel you. I can feel your flame.
Pray in the spirit. Please, anywhere you are, pray. These meetings have kind of unusual structure if you are not accompanied with it. So this is the meeting. The meeting has started. I'm not trying to do something. The meeting has started. And the meetings are more experiential than they are expressional. Right? So you experience more the expression coming from here. And so we guide. Right? So pray on the, just pray. That's the kind of prayer. That prayer, I want your spirit to just be fine-tuned. I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, give a shout to God. And you are going to scream glory, right? Some of you here, the lock over your life will break. Some of you that it's as though you are standing before an obstacle. You can't move forward. The walls will be coming down.
Amen.
Because the word that came through the word of God said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and you everlasting doors be lifted up, that the King of glory may come in. And then a voice replied and said, who is this King of glory? And they said, the Lord strong and mighty. That is the El Gibor. They would have invoked another name and said, the Lord holy, or the Lord righteous. But because of the situation at the gate, it was confrontational. So the psalmist had to invoke a name and say, the Lord was strong and mighty. Kadesh. It's an invocation. It's an invocation. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, he will show forth himself to you in that light. So the psalmist invoked the strength of the Lord and the mightiness of God. Listen, there are a lot of angelic presences in this meeting, and I'm going to tell you when the activity, they have started already. This is a very strange operation that went on here, because what we are doing here, it's not just about this gathering here. The privilege that God has given is to administer things that pertains to an age and a time. And things that pertains to an age and a time doesn't have recognition for locality or numbers per se. When the Holy Ghost came, he met 120 persons in the upper room. But today, that encounter in Acts chapter 2 is still what people experience every day from that age. The apostolic assignment to the Gentiles began in a very obscure city of Damascus many years ago, when that apostle was smitten from his horse. But that apostolic assignment is because of his assignment that I can preach the gospel. I can stand on the mysteries of Christ and proclaim I'm a son of God. Because the church did not realize that non-Jews could be saved. So Paul was alone with three men, or how many of them that accompanied him. But he was smitten and he saw light. And God said to him, I will send you to the Gentiles. This is an obscure encounter. It's a localized arrangement, but this impact will be felt globally. So when God gives that authority, he tells you, pass the decree. Make the mystery known. Let the heavens bear witness. So we have the heavens. This is something that will come. This sound you are hearing now is not a prepared sound. But I knew by the walk with God that once it was time and the angels come and the cherubims and the seraphims, when the glory of the Lord is revealed, it will come with his own sound. And once the sound is here, the prophetic words can proceed. So there is something now that is coming to the earth. He said it's a civilization. He said it's a civilization. Things are about to change. There's about to be an introduction into the world of men. It's going to bear the identity of glory. We are going to go on a journey shortly. By the time we arrive, many of you will live here different. It will be clear that the glory of God has touched you. Because I prayed, I said, Lord, cleanse me again to touch glory. Purify me at another level so that I will handle glory and touch your grace and glory in this new dimension. Jesus said, if you believe, you will see the glory. Do you believe the things that you are hearing? By grace, I follow God. That is, I wake up to see the face of God in my heart. And asleep, the presence of God still continues. Every day of my life. It wasn't accomplished by accident. It was a deliberate walk. I wish I could sink it deep inside of you that Jesus Christ lives in me. It is the testimony of all scriptures, of every believer. But literally when I see it, I know it's true. With tangible proofs and evidence. You can't prove God doesn't exist to me with any logical argument, because evidence doesn't submit to argument. The completion, the generality of my everyday experience doesn't agree that there is no God. How would you explain the presence that not everybody I talk to can discern? How can you describe it? So yes, he does. And I'm not here speaking to you because I'm a pastor. There's no title on the name. I'm talking to you because he met with me and talked to me. So I have something to say to you. I can say it to you because there's a work he does in my heart. That's why when I bring you up, anybody I'm teaching, I'm training in Christ, I pull aside every ecclesiastical framework in your mind. That is, I'm making you useful for church. I'm making you useful for your life. I saw in the glory of God. You think this is creation? No. The design of man was not for man to sin, fall into sin, Jesus Christ come redeem man is there. No, this is not creation, sir. This creation will continue after now. Everything you see is an arrangement to pull you out of death. I've seen the next civilization. That's what I'm talking about. Eternity continues. You live here 120 years and then you pass on to the next world. That is where creation started. Do you understand? In the beginning, God made man not to fall. He made man to continue. I'm seeing that continuity apart from this depression. That is the civilization I'm talking about. This is not where it ends. This is not life. So that's why they say man is a fool by default, because he sees what is around him. And like my pastor would say, he doesn't know that his immediate creation is marked for demolition. Empires, systems, governments, all of them geared for demolition. Because there's a world after this. And I've seen the future. It's in the scriptures. It's in the revelation of God. Because everyone that passes on will come again. Sir, there is a government after now. This earth will pass away. And the world will continue. So what will you do with your beauty? Nonsense. What will you do with your degrees? Irrelevant. What will you do with your identity now? Doesn't make sense. And that is the hope of the Apostle Paul. He said, I look forward, because I'm going to be a king in the next world. So there's a crown waiting for me. So if I sleep along the way and I die of hunger and I have no abode and I move restless, I am a wise man. Though they may see me as a fool, because he has no property. But hold on. With all your properties, you can live with them for 100 years. Then the days become evil because your strength fails. Then you pass on to the gate and you meet another city. But it's not Lagos, neither is it New York. And everywhere is laced with gold. And you are like, what is this? It's a welcome to the glory. So for one little thing you are misbehaving, you can't walk in righteousness. Why? You can't tame yourself. Why? 110 years, 20 years, the most 80 years. And then you are no more. I'm going to this city. This, by the end of this arrangement, you will look like this. Your zeal and your mentality will adjust. Don't bother if you don't know what civilization is. By the end of this meeting, you know what it is. Because many things people know is what it's not, right? And many things we think we know about it is what exactly it's not. Jesus came in the book of Matthew chapter 4. And he said to the people, repent, because kingdom of God has come. Left for Jesus, if you read the book of Mark chapter 1, he said, repent and believe the gospel. I told us that since the Bible was written in Greek, the original writers, I like to go back to read it from the original script. What Jesus said to them was metanoai, right? And it meant change your mind, then you can believe. Change your mind, the kingdom is here. What happens when somebody's mind changes? Their character changes. You know somebody has changed his mind because something about his life changes. Take for instance, if you know I'm supposed to go out in the morning around 10, and then at about 10:30, I'm still seated in the house. You wonder, are you not going out again? What's happening? My outward show has hinted on an inward change. Most of the times, we try to get people by the outward and ignore the inward. That's where the trouble comes. If you follow our convergence in July, which happened online, we use that scripture to arrive at this. I wish I could open my notes and show you that this word first came in 2023. I would have opened some things now and showed you the date. Civilization. And he said, we are going to head towards a civilization. Listen, if you leave it by default, it won't happen. The law, the principle of Watchman's book, The Normal Christian Life, states that things will naturally decay, go out of way, deviate from God at their natural course. The reason is because of the evil that is in the world. So, if everybody abandons this world, not everybody is saying these kinds of things and pushing for these kinds of implementation. If everybody abandons this, it won't happen naturally. The same way, if everybody abandons the way of the gospel, the sinners won't get saved automatically. Why? Because it is given to man to preach. One of the principles that we established in July is that every kingdom has a civilization. Every kingdom, just hold the word civilization in your mind like this, even though you don't know what it is. Every kingdom has a civilization. This is not preaching. I'm pointing to you concrete reality. Follow me. You have been taught now. Every kingdom has a civilization. And that's how you can tell kingdoms apart. Father, we'll give you praise. Let me read something for us. There is such a thing as the civilization of glory, because it's a realm. Are we together? Last time we were here, we talked about the kingdom. And we showed us that in taking a journey into the kingdom, see, the word is, the kingdom will be revealed on earth. I hope we know that. And we pointed out to us that this civilization of glory is the expression of the kingdom. I may be confusing us, but we hit it at the beat. So, let's define a civilization. In defining a civilization, so that we can understand, look at me. If you look elsewhere, you will not be understanding me. I want to follow two pathways to define it for you. When I show you some things, and at the end of the day, even if I don't explain it, you know what it is. Civilization is first of all an inward thing and an outward thing. Once you go to your sin area, you see one of the sins titled civilization. Put up that image for us. Just civilization. Good. So that you can understand it. So there's a screen here. There's a screen here. You don't have to capture that. Just fix it. Now, what we see here, civilization. Outward. Appearance. Customs, laws, practices, technologies, methods, skills, culture. Are you understanding this? The word civilization comes from Latin, right? And it is civitas. It means city, right? And it means somebody that is from a city. And that's where the word citizen came from. Are you looking at me? Civilization is the word that citizen came from. When you say citizen, you point it back to an origin. You point it back to a root. When you look at somebody and say he's not civilized, you are wrong. Because actually he has a civilization. What you are saying is that he lacks the Western custom. Because our civilization in this part of the world is greatly influenced by the West and by the Europeans, particularly the British. And that is why till today, English is still the official language of the country. Whereas some African countries speak French. So when you look at the outward part of civilization, what you see is appearance. It's very easy to tell. And that's why you wear suit all the time. Most countries don't wear suits. Suit is like you go to banks, you can't wear up and down on a Monday. That's what they mean corporate. That's the norm. The appearance in a corporate environment, it doesn't have to be that way. You can build a country and your corporate is your agbada. I pointed out somewhere is that traditional doesn't mean it's local. It means London is somebody's village. And that's where you go to and you call it. But that is somebody. So the person, if he's there and I say, I'm doing it the traditional way. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is the international. We say, no. To you it may be, but me it's traditional. I'm saying it back and forth, forth and back, because I want to undo and understand it first. So when you look at civilization, one of the ways to identify it is, remember it's tied to an origin. Appearance is one of it. If you look at somebody from Asia, even if he's a black man, but he's coming, you just say, this is Chinese appearance. What about their customs? Their method of greeting. The Japanese are known for always bowing. Bow at literally anything, right? Their practices, you can know. Their laws, how they operate. It's a visible thing. So those category, it pulls out the out. Let's go to the inward. What you see is faith. You can't see a person's faith unless he tells you or you observe him. But by default, it's hard to know if somebody is saved or is not saved. Because Hindu people wear suit and pastors wear suit. Do you understand? So you see their ideologies. What's an ideology? Their perspective about life. Is it complex? Their beliefs. Like I saw something that a Japanese woman, an Asian, was saying one of the greatest hindrances to them accepting Christianity is that they feel that they are letting their ancestors go. Because some of them worship their ancestors. So when Jesus Christ comes and says, your ancestors are either in hell or in heaven. And then they say, oh, no, we can't do that. So that's their belief. But belief is not something you see. Sometimes it can distill to the outward. But you can't look at me and know what I believe unless I act according to the belief. Then you have the mentality. I give myself say that's how the people from the north think. It's turbulent, sorry. And then there's the metaphysics. It has no relationship with the subject physics. Metaphysics has to do with philosophy. Your entire belief of how the world came, how reality works. There are some cultures, like if you go to China, the official religion of the state is atheism. That is, this religious country we live in. Countries like China that are steep in, I've lost some youngsters, that are into communism. The religion of the state is that is the state is officially atheist. There be no sympathy or relationship with the religious, no affiliation. So if somebody that comes from that government, I think I'm leaving some people behind. Please follow me. Just hold my hand. If somebody comes from that government, he has no empathy or pity for any. He has nothing. He has been trained, and that thing leaves an imprint, an impact in his heart. And then, of course, self-identity. Civilization, right, is saying that you are coming, you have an origin. It's all linked with culture. Culture says it's the total way. See, this knowledge, you must get it. You want to function and impact your world. This is a relevant course. Is it difficult? It's relevant. Because God, if God pushes, some persons will go into spheres with civilizations already, and then they lose their identity. Because they were not trained, wired to identify that way. This is trying to reprogram me. So they dress like this. When they enter this job, all the dressing changes. See, this is how. I can't be working in this place. Am I the only? That's the thing. They are getting into your brain. You are changing. You are getting the appearance. But because you don't have knowledge of how this thing. And this is Satan's foothold. Satan doesn't care what we preach in church. The church, the religion is just one aspect of civilization. You spend max 3 hours, 4 hours on Sunday, 2 hours on Wednesday. He keeps you in his systems for the rest of the week. So if you are not empowered to understand, to think, you'll be immersed and baptized in these things. You carry worldly views into the church and you argue with the word from the altar. It's not Satan, but it's that they have baptized you. And you have undergone an acculturation, and that is, you adopted the new culture. So there is something coming, that the kingdom is not coming in only preaching. It's rewired. It's coming through culture. And that's why he said there is going to be a, if the kingdom is going to be revealed, push for the civilization. Let them know that these things are real. If we preach, we still go out. But when we come face to face with demons that wear suits, you can't identify. Because there may be the discernment of spirits, but we need the discernment of wisdoms. Because the Bible says, howbeit the wisdom that is from above is first pure. This wisdom is not from above. It's evil. It's sensual. It's demonic. And some wisdoms in this. See, we have not opened the passage for this preaching. This course, by the time you leave here, your brain will just arrange. This is so serious. That's what, see, Satan is out there in the world. He's not even coming to the church that much again. He said the church people will come to meet me. When they come, I will change them. I wish everyone knows what I want to say and what God is saying through his word. So that when you walk into a system and see errors, you say no. See, the faith of Jesus Christ must leave your heart after it has become grounded in your heart and enter your intellect and rewire your thinking. That's why you can see what they call secular Pharisees. It's a mix. Do you get that phrase? Secular Pharisees. The Pharisees are a religious group. Secular people are non-religious. So they are secular Pharisees. That is, they are a mixed breed of both worldliness and non-worldliness. So they come with baggages of ideas. They love God, they pursue God, but they don't agree with some things because it doesn't align with political correctness or society. Who defines society? It was very simple. All they had to do was kick God out of it. If you enter the field of knowledge, the universities, God did it. Somebody said that the last foothold God has the university is in the philosophy departments. That they have kicked him out of all the departments. Even political science is studied scientifically. I don't have any political science today. Yeah. But leadership at ancient time was governed by religion. The architecture. That's why you see the priest or the prophet anoints the king. It was because he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. You see, that scripture is a prescription for leadership. That the fear of the Lord is an element, a requirement. But now, political science is a scientific study of power within public spaces. We don't need he that ruleth must fear God anymore. There was when he started. There is in the history of the universities, the departments. But when we go to the departments, we want to just get A and leave. So to now we want to journey in civilization. Before you, when you live here, if you do here correctly, if you do what? If you get an A in this course here, when you live here, seraphims will follow you to your house. They say, this one is an A student. Let's keep teaching him. Somebody said this. And that's why we talked about the first week of that course. We talked about the necessity of training. Because this is not Sunday morning preaching. This is university learning. And that's why we can build a course out of it. And you study this 4 years. And when you come out, what degree? You may not, we don't give you a degree, but there's a seal. This one is a world changer. There are people that are known as revolutionists. There are, when you Google some persons, when they tell you known for revolution, they systematically studied it. Go and look at John Stuart Mill, J.S. Mill. The young man, right? His father and his friend were people that failed in revolution. In a revolutionary endeavor. Are you there? We enter scripture back. So the father and his friend brought the young man and said, this one is a prophet to project our views into. So they were at 8 years. He could solve calculus. He could speak in five different. He was reading Greek scholars in Greek, not English. The Greek scholars, their original work, he was reading it in the original language. He was smart in everything. So when he spoke, you can't disarm his logic. Yeah, and he did succeed. Go and read J.S. Mill. He is an agent. They cooked him. He was ahead of his colleagues. So his mates could that he was 20 years ahead of them when he was 12. Now, the nation that God gave to us, Israel. God said, study Israel. You will see that Israel is my kingdom in the earth. I use them to show you. See, there's a lot of mystery in the scriptures. Some of us, let me tell you the truth about the Bible. The Old Testament without the New Testament is incomplete. But the New Testament without the Old Testament is impossible. The New Testament reveals Christ, but it doesn't exhaust him. And this New Testament is actually easy job for us, because Paul's days didn't have the New Testament. See, all the mysteries Paul preached was in the Old Testament. How did Paul know about justification by faith? I told us. He was reading Abraham. How do I know? He quoted it. And when he saw that Abraham believed and God accounted it for righteousness, then the light of God came to him. He said, that's how he works now. You believe Christ, we are counting for righteousness. That's how he preached the gospel of justification by faith. He couldn't self-reference himself. And then the light of God still spoke. He says, that's what David meant. Because David had said to him, that blessed is the man that God does not impute his iniquities. So he said, wow. So if I believe in the work of Christ, my faith is converted to me as righteousness. It's Genesis chapter 15. So all those, and Paul didn't live forever. So there are still mysteries in there. And that's one of the mysteries God unlocked in my heart. And that's the whole gist of the kingdom. Because he said, this kingdom, Israel, is the representative of my kingdom in the earth. I use them as a symbol to show you. And I showed us in 1 Chronicles 29:29, where, can you put up that scripture for us? Where the Bible says something very scary. He said, and Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king over Israel. And we asked us a question. Why is the throne of Israel referred to as God's throne? Because they were his kingdom. Are we together? See, this is it, hard course? Now, 29, are you there? Do you have an issue with your system? 29, 25, 28, 29, 27. What's the issue? All right, glory to God. All right, you are showing 525, 29, madam, 29. Is that what? Chapter 29. She's doing great. It's not. Are we preaching? We are journeying. Go to 28, 29. The last portions of that book. Not the first chapter. Oh, glory. Move on. Going back, not forward, back. Go on. Now that's it. 23. And Solomon sat on the throne of who? How can somebody sit on God's throne? As king over the kingdom in heaven. Where? As king over what? So Israel's throne is God's throne. And that's what God was saying to us, that that nation, I used it to show you my kingdom. So, in showing me through the journey of civilizations, he took me through the nation. Now, did I tell us about the formation of nations? So let's do a history. If you look at me, you will enjoy this teaching. Let's do a brief history. Let's run through Genesis chapter 1 and let's stop at chapter 11 in a few minutes. So Genesis chapter 1, God made heaven and earth, right? Genesis chapter 2, he created man and blessed them. Chapter 3, man fell, right? And then at the end of chapter 3, they were out. Don't follow me, I'll be ahead of you. Just listen. Chapter 3, man fell. Ending of chapter 3, he put a cherubim to guide the tree of life, right? Chapter 4, Adam knew his wife, Cain, Abel, right? End of chapter 4, Cain has built a city. Chapter 5, Adam knew his wife again and they gave birth to Seth. Men began to call on the name of the Lord again, right? Chapter 6, then corruption entered the earth. And God wiped out everybody. Chapter 7, Noah found grace in the sight of God, and himself, his three sons and their wives were the only ones preserved, 8 men. Right? So that, I like it that way. Not I like what God... What I mean is that arrangement reduces the earth to us to study again. You know, in sciences and other courses, it is good. That's why in biology they do sampling. You take a small population because you can't study everything. You reduce the variables. So if God gave us, just all the variables to 8. So we can start the world with him again. Right? And then chapter 8, they came out, right? Chapter 9, the covenant. And then chapter 10, the generation of Noah. All the earth became populated. And then chapter 11, the table of nations. Let's go to chapter 11 now. We have finished Genesis 1 to 11. Let's go to the table of nations. Now, the whole world had one speech. The reason why they had one speech is because it was one family. There's a children's stuff I used to see. The guy just, he's a king. But he only has two people follow him, so he calls them my kingdom. His kingdom is just two people. Right? So the whole earth had one speed. The whole earth was just eight people. And the other guy's kingdom was just... and they adored him. Alright. And they journeyed to the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and then they dwelt there. No, chapter 10, my dear. Let's go to chapter 10. That's the story of Babel. The Table of Nations, chapter 10. Start from verse 1. Enjoy it. Do what? This is not memory verse. Just enjoy the journey. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and the sons were born to them after the flood. The sons that were born to them after the flood are actually the nations of the earth. I pointed out to us that you can see Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tiras. These guys, the sons of Japheth, were Gomer. You can trace Russia, Gog and Magog out of them. And when they gave, all of them moved to go and populate the earth. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Ripha, Togarma. Move on. These are nations. Javan was Elisha, Tashish, Kittim, Dodanim. These are people of Persian origin. Now, move. Now, this is the coastland of the Gentiles were separated. So, Europe was forming out of here. Move. The sons of Ham were Cush. Mizraim is Egypt. That's Egypt. Mizraim. Put and Canaan. See, the land of Canaan. The sons of Canaan. That is the man. Canaan is the name of a man. The land of Canaan are his descendants. Sheba, Havilah. Have you heard of the queen of Sheba? Sabta, Rama. Have you heard of Rama in the days of David? I see the man. And Dedan. Keep moving. These are nation, but men nation. Like that guy and his two kingdoms. Cush begat Nimrod, and he began to be a mighty one. Move on now. See him. This guy is a world changer. Move on. The beginning of his kingdom, not one. He went and built Babylon. From there he moved and built Erech and Akkad. How many of you have heard of the Akkadians?
See, they are a builder.
And in the land of Shinar. Now move. That's not even enough for him. Then he went to Assyria and built Nineveh. And all you want is Jeep.
You are finished.
Men are beauty nations. He built Nineveh and what?
You are seeing their builder.
You are building one duplex. The guy is building kingdoms and living. He said, you rule this one. I still have more kingdoms to build. And after he built about seven kingdoms.
That one is not a king. It's a principality.
All those kingdoms are his province. Move on. Now, this is what God... So all of these people evolved with their customs and idolatry. The Canaanites were known for heavy idol worship. They have what they call ritual prostitution. Let's not go into details. But the idea is that they come and profane themselves in the temple as part of their worship. So they offered sexual immorality to their God. That thing, right, is the civilization of the Canaanites. And whenever it's done, that their God will be taking the worship.
So this is the world. And so God saw this corruptness. And that's why he told Abraham to was there. Abraham was in Mesopotamia. That city is in Babylon. Babylon is the headquarters of all the abominations in the earth. You know why? That's where Nimrod built first. It's the Alpha.
The Alpha means beginning now.
So he built it. That Mesopotamia, the Babylonians, they had wisdom. The Babylonians are the ones that say 1 minute should be 60 seconds. Because their mathematicians discovered that the number 60 had amazing properties of divisibility. So they say, let's use 60 as, so you see your times is 60s. Is what?
How many minutes make 1 hour?
Are you enjoying the journey? So God, Abraham was deep in that place. And God spoke to him. He said, Abraham, leave your father's house to a land.
I will show you.
So he left with his brethren. Abraham was a people person. As he left, his fathers followed him. And they came and entered Haran and they packed. And then his father died. And he said, well, I'm going to Haran. Don't follow me, everybody, again. But he had to carry Lot. Because Lot was like now, was now like his son. It is that, see, it is that man, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, right? And then his sons, 12. Is the 12 of them he brought to form one nation. Now, when you read the Bible, why most persons don't like that book of X Numbers and Leviticus is because it's there God instituted their civilization. So let's go to the passage for this message. After how many minutes? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4.
Father.
And you are life, oh God. In your spirit I'm alive, oh my heart longs for you. You are life, oh God. In your spirit I'm alive, oh my heart longs for you.
Now, oh Israel, now listen, the book of Deuteronomy is a very interesting book. The book of Deuteronomy is Moses' farewell. His what? It's a speech. At the end of the book, he dies. What a man. Right? Some people just die and go. Before he died, he spoke very well. I said, he's coming, let him go and die. You know what someone said? I'm coming, let me go to. He said, I'm coming, let me go. And then he went and died on Mount Nebo. So this boy says, he said, now, who is listening to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you, that you observe, to observe that you may live and go and possess the land which gone. You shall not add.
Move on.
Move on. Hold on. Okay, keep moving. I have taught you statutes and judgment, just as the Lord commanded me. God was interested in how the nation will form. That you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Civil law, moral law.
We'll go that journey. Move on.
Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom. That is you. What's wisdom? The entirety of your presentation and your understanding in the sight of all the peoples who hear all this statue and say, surely this is a great nation. It's wise and understanding people. Move on. For what great nation is there that God has so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? That would move on to verse 8 now. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgment as are in all this law which I said? So God himself instituted the structure of the nation. It's not all about let's build. He started, he began to speak to them in chapter 19. That's Exodus. If we would have asked us, but some would have asked us to read the whole book of Genesis to Deuteronomy, like maybe once. Then when we come, we won't even have to read. We'll just be talking from the lecture notes. That is the scripture, that is the lecture notes. See verse 4. He said, now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A what? And what? Holy is what the other guys were not. Now, when we go to verse chapter 20, you see 10 commandments. 21, the law concerning servants. That is how you deal with your workforce. Institutional and organizational laws. 22, responsibility for property. Have you seen a law like that? 22 again, moral and ceremonial principles. It's 22 that will tell you that if a man entices a virgin who is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely pay the bride price. It's not like they're doing this war hit and run. Ah, the Israel that we bring you, come and pay. That law didn't come from a man's mind. It came from Elohim. That's how, when Nimrod, see, history teaches that occultism started with Nimrod in Babylon. That's why God was not done with Babylon from Genesis even down to Revelation 18. He was still saying Babylon, he was still cursing Babylon. Because after the flood, the principal people that polluted the earth again was these guys. Nimrod and sons. World builders. Now, if you go to 23, it talks about justice. It's in 23 you hear things like, you shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute. Hey, sometimes they show partiality to a rich man. And then sometimes partiality to a poor man is not that sin. They say, this is poor. God say, don't show partiality to both. This one is talking about the poor. Injustice for all, you hear things like, you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning. I'm not in Deuteronomy, my dear. Now, what do we see? We see God forming a nation and instituting a civilization. This is so critical because when you see Israel, you will see what the church should be like. Because the church is an expression of kingdom. Oh my goodness. This is not preaching, no. This is what will be. Because the idea is at the end of our encounters, you will have a structure in your mind that regulates you. So, there is that civilization of the kingdom coming. It's going to rest on the foundation. How many of you see this structure here? Before this structure was built, they did what is called laying out or marking out. Where they set the post, the points at each section, and then marked it with a line. And then laid dog according to it. See, if the foundation is 4-bedroom flat, you can't add a fifth one after it's at lintel level without digging. That one will not be. It's 1-bedroom wall. You have that last room is a wall. It's going to. Your baby will just do like this. That's funny, right? That's what he did. He laid the foundation for the nation with the principles. Let me look at you. Some of us, the generality of our Christian vocation is regulated by principles only within certain spheres. Only within spiritual environments. You mean some people, they lie back and forth, like, their dishonesty. You think it's acceptable? Later in life, I will not carry you to one civilization. Later in life, not today. That will teach you conduct, 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll use NLT to read it, not King James, so that you know what he's saying. Then as we are reading, everybody will not be measuring himself with that line. You see, everybody will just be having F, 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 F. Because when I saw that scripture, I was angry at Apostle Paul for about 2 weeks. Why did you have to write that part? I was nearly perfect.
I had to take up that part in NLT. In what? So that he speaks in contemporary language. That preacher that will teach you that even when you are right, you should get your knees and apologize so that you can redeem your brother. The pride in your heart, you say never. That's not God's spirit again.
Everybody is not happy about that. Please.
So why will I apologize? I'm right. That's Satan now. They are lost there, but we'll not go there. They, right? Now, if you read Genesis, Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 was when they met God. When Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, they camped at Mount Sinai. And in chapter 19, God came from heaven physically and spoke to them from the fire. Now, from chapter 19, he told them, would you be my people? You'll be a holy nation. I'll make you a nation and set you above. And they say, yes, we would. I said, okay, if you want to be my people, I'll give you laws. Remember, these guys were coming out of countries that had laws. There are some countries that, there are some religion that you can marry more than how many wives? Four wives is the standard. So if you have not married, if you are marrying one wife, you are sinning. If you marry one wife, you are sinning. You have to add the second one to be righteous. Right? That's an arrangement. So God was giving them a laws. Verse 20 has laws. 21 has laws. And when he came to 24, he had finished the first stage of the law. And they said, all that you have said, we will do. And he said, okay, if you will do, let this blood of the covenant be the agreement. I wish it's chapter 24. I'm Exodus 24 now. And they agreed. And then 25, he said something. Before we go to verse 25, which is stage 2 of this meeting, try to wrap up. Go to the slides. I want to show you something I gathered for civilization so you can see, because we are moving to stage 2 very soon. You see a slide that is captioned CIV men. I want to show you about civilizations very briefly. When you look, oh, hold on with this. When you look at this man, where do you think he's from? Place a time. Randomly, place a time. Which age is this? Do you know Benjamin Franklin? Have you heard his name before? Okay, we've heard of George Washington. Do you think this guy lived with George Washington?
No, sir. Because of his look.
How did she find him? She just found his age quickly. Why? You have used civilization methods to decide. So if you look at this guy, if I tell you this is king, you not doubt it. But if I know you, you will stand up now and say never. If I say this is Solomon, he say, why did you see Solomon? There's no portrait of Solomon, but you don't agree. When you read scripture, you already have a picture of what it looks like. Alright, go to the next. It's a slide, so just next. Not the next scene, the next slide. No, I said not the next scene. That image is a slide. Go back to that man. Yes, it's good. Alright, look at this. Is this the next image on that slide? Good. This man, if I now say to you, now, this man existed sometime in 1817. Will you agree? You not agree? This is a civilization. Already looking at it gives you a picture. If I tell you this is Jesus' days, you will not doubt it. I told you this story is from 3 years ago. It's in no way. And if by place that looked like this and people are just like this, you'd be like, what kind of backward place is it?
Why do you think it's backward? The world has moved on. Go to the next slide. What about this guy? Now listen, when you read Bible and they talk about, and he built a city, furnished, this is the city. What Nebuchadnezzar was boasting, this is what it looks like. It's not this great Babylon. See the great Babylon. See the skyscraper or the mud scraper. That's behind. And this Mesopotamia, this is what it looked like in Babylon. This is Babylon. And their commerce was greatly increased. See, that's this commerce. Shop left and shop right. And he was a great man. See the great man. He has cut, he has rug. You know, he put rug on his shoulders. And this is the epitome of wealth. I can't dress like that. You use 30 minutes to undress yourself before you start wrapping up all those ropes. You think dressing in those days was not easy? You're not wearing shirt. You know, you wear robe and you start wearing your wrist. That's why I say they don't change their clothes. They just sleep with it and wake up. Then maybe they put the clothes once every 3 days. Move to the next slide. How about this? Now, if I say this is George Washington, you will not doubt it. Because this, it looks this 18th century. Now you can see a carriage driven by a horse. A cart driven by a horse, right? Now, if you say this is the great Babylon, you agree, because now there's concrete and there are paints and the architecture has changed. That's the world moving in before your eyes. Move to the next one now. Oh my God, now look at this. These are generations of different people in the same earth. Now, go back to that first king. What do you think this man would say when you ask him who created heaven and earth? Does he even look smart? What do you think he knows about the world? What do you think he knows about the sun? You said the sun is the eye of a god. That is, when he sleeps, night comes. And if you doubt, he will kill you. They're very brutal. I killed a man while he argued with me. You think if this guy sees the tiger, he will run? You pursue him. Where do you think this man sleeps? On his, making his bedspread. He just put a stone. The mosquitoes guy, they can't bite these people. He's the one biting them. Now move. How about this man? Civil, it has moved, its mentality has shifted. He won't behave like that man. You can see a carriage with dignity. Go back to that former guy. Wastelands. See his house, cotton. See them? They live, dwelt in tents. If you read, and it was a great city. That's the city. Move. Now that's... go back to the previous one. You can see that from looking at him, he's grooming. Certain things have changed inside of him. The shift of the world has engendered or transformed a shift inside. When you see somebody just walking in and walking like this, but some other person comes and just walks, the carriage alone tells you what's going on. Thoughtless, you just say, why is he walking? Is this a mad person? A mad person is somebody that his thought is upside down. Yeah. That's why things the normal people are mad. How can you be clean? How can you be clean? You have to be dirty. Cleanliness is not good. And you argue it. Now move to... go move on. And this is Renaissance. No. That 18th century. This is Renaissance. The world has changed. Now he's a scientist. He knows about diseases.
that first cane, if something bites him, he will carry the thing and scratch on that place he beat. That the medicine of the thing is inside the bee. I know there are people here that if ant beat them, then they'll carry that ant and kill it on me. But this one studies. He knows science. He knows a little bit about his world. This looks like Isaac Newton's day. They know how the planets operate now. They have mathematical equations. Now move to these modern guys. These ones have mastered what is available. They have taken raw materials and manufactured vehicles. You think that cane can put his eye in his pocket? Inside, you think it's stone that is inside that pocket? The idea is, if a bird is on the ground, you just stone it and kill it. And what? You think it's roasting with the feather and everything? But not this guy. You see, he won't even drink. That's a big boy. That's move to the ladies show a similar salvation, but move to the to that other scene now. This scene, these are all different, the same people. Go to the scene. The next scene. There are differences between scenes. The next scene. Yes. Now this, if I tell you that this is Margaret Thatcher, will you agree? What about I say Queen Elizabeth II? But if I say this is Rachel, it passes. CJ Gideon agrees. But this is beauty. Of course, they are beautiful. And then she wore a fine royal purple. That's it. And her father was wealthy. Many properties. See the properties behind. Ladies, I hope you can see your ancestors. Shoot, let's keep moving to the next image. That's Babylon. They have moved. You can see, this is the egalitarian society. She's part of the high level, the aristocrats. Are you seeing their pouch? That's their pouch, clutch pot. That this time it was a clutch pot, and she's buying stuff. That's the market, high level commerce. Move on. Now this is that none of people will wear this thing again. Because she said never. I think inside that thing there are rods, reinforcing rods, like if it's a structure, so that you look like a plasma from downwards. And it becomes easy for people like this to steal a plasma. They just add it and move sideways like this. I say no, it's the ball that is making that shape, and then they have left with TV. All right, move on. Let's go. No way. You think all people have the same man? That first girl, if you ask her what she needs, what she looks for in a man, say, hey, you should have some goods. No, but not this one. Don't it, if you bring goods to this one, I say, why are we keeping this? Why? The world has shifted. You can see our smartphone. Those days, the devil, maybe his slate. Caveman slate was the iPad then. Move on to the next slide, the next scene. It also affects the children. You see that? I'm showing you, even if you can't define a civilization, you can tell the impact it has. This kind of children can kill a snake with their hand. They are dangerous. They can even eat you raw. Move to the next one. They are all children. See them. Those of you play this game, I hope you know where you are coming. All of you played it. I hope you know where you came from now. See your forefathers when they were small. Move on. What is different now? There's a difference. Move. And then this. Different. Move on. And then this. Just different. They are all children and they are all playing. But when you see them, something informs you that they are from a... My nephew operates a smartphone. He doesn't even know how to read.
One time, one of my other nephew could send from Zenda between two smartphones. I don't know how he doesn't know how to read, but he just knows his way around.
And some of you are like that. Even you.
They even know how to download from YouTube. Download from Play Store. You give them your phones, you come and see they have established many games. Move to the next scene. Now let's look at this, their occupation, their skill. This is a rich man. Who does this look like? Moses, go? Jacob. Move on. The skill keeps moving. That skill. Move on. I don't have to say too much again. You get it. Move on. Oh. See him. Do you see that? When you look at us, you know their world is different. Let's go to it. I think we have one more scene. Move on. There's some other one here. This is now futuristic. Interactive technology where you, instead of sending files through Zenda, you just carry the file like this and put it in your device. You know, this on this, on that, you just pick the phone, carry the file, and put it on your own phone. You have copied it. That's what she's doing. She's operating a computer. That's the screen with the HUD. That's the screen. Whatever. She's direct, she's touch, she's operating the computer literally now, not using it. Move on. Now you look at these people. Some of us think when we talk about youth, is to wear jeans and sweater. Have you seen the youth of the 1890s? They wear suit and their belts and hat. Are reflecting is a culture, is hip hop culture, no youthfulness. I know when they say let's dress youth, everybody go and wear jeans. See, that's from this urban lifestyle. You can imagine how these people think and how they speak. I was the one that used that black thing to cover there because the shirt ends somewhere upwards. As I said, for my education purpose, I will not. So I use black box to cover it. Some will of you, some persons, you can't be here. One youngster asked me, and like, sir, is it okay to tattoo scripture on my body? I say okay. I say what is more important is to become the scripture, because it starts from small scripture. Say just put one small dove near that, yes. Put lion just. That you can see. You see his hood. He's, they call themselves niggas. One thing that prospers here is drugs. It's civilization. And their slang is different, though. They even used to call themselves dogs. But they spell it DWG. I think that's all the scene, right? This is what God doesn't want. All of these things, what he didn't want. The other nations, I don't want to start showing you Canaanite, because you start seeing all manner of ritual. Some pass their children through fire for Molech, a god, to worship him. So when God called Israel, take that thing off now, please. When God called Israel, those things they were seeing. Some of us, what we see is what we wear. Eh? So there's one new thing raining now. Everybody, if you wear it,
you're already a fraudster.
That's a fraudster and appearance. It's not like it's bad, but that's what their groups now absorb. So it now becomes assigned to them. It's called a co-opting process.
that when a group of people associate themselves consistently with a particular item, that imbues their identity. And when you, a neutral person, takes it up, automatically, by the laws and principles of civilization, they say this one belongs to their group. That's what God didn't like from all the nations, because they were abominable. In short, Moses told the Israelites, he said, the reason why God is driving these nations away is because of their character and their practices. They are abominable in the sight of God. So he's driving them away. And this is that amazing thing God said. Now, after God laid the laws from Exodus 19 all the way, he now came in chapter 25. Go to chapter 25. And he called Moses, chapter 25, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, and colored thread, fine linen, hair. Move on. Ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood. Move on. Oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. Look at this. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Most of our... This is a... Don't move. There. This is a strange scripture. Most of our arrangements, are we tired? Oh my God. This is a very long lecture. Most of our arrangements, God attends our meetings, our conferences. The presence visits the meetings. God was present. But here's what God wanted. God wanted to stay in their center. He wanted to live among them. That's where this is going. He said, but for me to live around you, there's a way you need to be. When they accepted in chapter 24 that all you have said we will do, he said, okay, make me a mikdash. That's the Hebrew word. It means a holy place, a sacred place. Don't put it far from them. Put it in their midst. That I may dwell, Sanak. I want to reside. I want to pack my belongings and live with them. Stay with them. Began the journey of the glory. Sometimes we come to a place where the presence visits our program and meets us in church. God says, I want to live inside. When they are doing their feast, I want to be there. When this person is discussing with this person, I want to be inside their discussion. Even though I just want to be there. When they are living their daily life, when they are reading books, they are practicing to study, they are in universities, I want to still be with them. But to arrive at this realm, he said, these guys are new. I want to lay the foundation for the nation. I showed you pictures of how people dress, how they operate their daily life. He said, I'm giving them a new skill. I'm giving them a new way of living. If they abide by this, then my glory can dwell in their midst.
that you see in Exodus chapter 19 all the way is the principles of Kadesh. Holiness. Holiness didn't start. Holiness is a principle from the Old Testament. And righteousness is a gift, but I've not seen the gift of holiness. Because holiness is a way of life. It's a separation. It's an ordinance. It's a set of laws. Not just in doings, but first inside that you have separated yourself. What you see is a holy civilization. And that's why he said, you shall be to me a holy nation. That was their identity. Benway, food basket of the nation. Israel, holy nation. And when Peter read the Old Testament, he saw that scripture and quoted it in his book. He said, for ye are a royal priesthood, ye shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. There is going to come a breed of, this is the civilization, they will come with this, with an order of life that the glory of God lives in them because they have separated themselves. And all the fullness of that glory will be their identity. You've seen where all I've shown you is culture and way of life. To host glory residentially is not about your praying, it's about your living first. Mikdash, sanctuary. No matter how you pray, without holiness, the presence cannot dwell. This realization of the kingdom is going to hit us first through culture, because we have seen a corruption that is entering the kingdom coming from outward. So a lot of things are being allowed to penetrate. Because we want to be more liberal. We want to make the church conducive for all men to come. We want to break the divide. But the principles of God cannot be eroded. This civilization is not a denomination. It's a set of engines from God that is controlling you. What is acceptable and not, what your heart rejects. Are you going to move with this word? This is a word that I told you, it won't happen on its own accord. Glory has a civilization. The people that come from there have a look. They have a way of life. They have an appearance. There's an appearance that will not agree that you came from the glory. There's a way of life that we will not agree that is this glory you came from. Because I pointed out to you that man and I said, this could be George Washington. And you said, no, it doesn't look like his age. This is not his civilization. There's going to be an age. He said, this kingdom will put in you a way of life and change the order. Some of us, we are built to be religiously useful, built to be religiously effective. But glory demands that the entirety of your being is sanctified. Let them make me a sanctuary. I will dwell among them. This is what I'm saying, Peter. Come. This is me and Peter walking. Men civilized glory with set of life principles that come from inside, governed by the laws of God, the righteousness of God. practically missed. There's a cherubim. He's not saying anything. He's just there. He's our tribesmen. Because they are in the glory. And we are having a conversation and God has a perspective. He may not speak from heaven, but he puts a word in his heart. And God speaks through him, his prophecy. But he didn't say, "Thus saith the Lord." He's just discussing. I mean, I hear it and I'm edified. And right there in our midst, God is speaking. A conference has started. A convergence has begun. There is no choir, no worship, no handbill, but Elohim talking. Can you be different? Can you be different? And this is the principle Paul said. The word friendship has righteousness with unrighteousness. He said, "For he say, come out from among them, be ye different. Do you not know that you are the temple of the living God and he resides in you?" This is where he's bringing it from. The prophecy of the glory. Listen, many are running with the prophecy. The prophecy of the glory is genuine, but the civilization is necessary. When you look at everything God said to them, can you put up Deuteronomy 18? I go to 26. Let's see 26, chapter 26. Then go to verse 16. Nations which he has made in praise. That is, he's saying to them, when you obey all these laws and you live according, say, you will naturally be above. Listen, look at me. The glory of God, right? There's no way you can fast and pray, "Oh Lord, let me carry glory." If it will come to you, if the laws are met, the demands. I'm not talking about the glory that of this. Of there are two dimensions. They ask the manifestations of the glory. Everybody experienced that on the platform of the grace, where God works a miracle. I'm talking about the tabernacling of presence. Ezekiel will show you the glory. Ezekiel knew the glory to the extent that he knew when the glory was not. Put Ezekiel chapter 8 verse 3 to 4. Ezekiel will tell you, "And I went there, and there was the glory of God." It's sometimes when we gather, we think, "Oh my God, there are just so many of those scriptures." Go to verse 2. Verse 4. "And behold, the glory of the God of Israel was there." If it was there, it's possible for it not to be there. Listen, there is where the glory is and where the glory is not. He knew it because he saw it in chapter 1. Go back to 25, Exodus now. What I'm saying is, God is saying there is going to come one person. He's walking. The same way you saw dressing appear. We can't. The civilization of the glory can't even come fully now because it will be different from the world. But the same way what governs inward that gives to outward. Because, listen, you can know a person's religion the way he dresses. This person has the way they dress. So there are certain one things that distill outward. So this man is moving. He's a civilized man. He's in the 21st century. But that's not all about him. His spirit is cultured by a rebel. So you give him bribe, he will not take it. It's against the law. You entice him onto falsehood, he will reject it. He can't break the protocol. Some of us break protocols. There is something that is said that no special case is too special to break the law. And then it's regulated by the testaments of scripture. The law of Corinthians 13. The law of love. So they say, why do you forgive though you have been hurt? Where we come from, we don't know grudges. We don't keep record of wrongs where we come from. When you are done, what you will see is a system of knowledge and principles that govern your life. That is when the more you journey in this, the glory will draw closer. The civilization of glory. He said that there's going to be that civilization in the end. I wish that many could plug in. I'm hurt sometimes. I see a wonderful person, minister, serve, or in church together with, and it's great. And then I meet the same person outside, and I'm shocked the kind of things he will say or will do. That's not judgment. He's doing something. Am I the one? Is it true judgment doing it? Or do I need a special gift to know when something is wrong if you read Bible? So to some extent, you can use your. No, they don't to allow us to do this. They don't allow us to do these things. How is he doing it? And he's saying this, he's using these kinds of words, he's allowing these kinds of things to go on. And you just know. Until this is changed. This realm that God has spoken about, you can't enter. He's a good person. God will use him to some extent, but there are certain realms he won't smell it. It's not a curse, it's the law. There are certain level of the presence, the manifestation of the presence of God. You won't see it if you like fast until it cuts off. Until your life is in place. It's life that carries presence. The presence of God will be on your life. On your what? Every has to change. Some don't care about nothing. They don't know the scriptures will change their life. They don't know that their church meetings and church attendances will change their way of life. Isaiah went into the holy place. Then he saw the throne. He saw the seraphims. These are people that dwell in the glory. The seraphims are residents of the glory. They dwell inside. And then when Isaiah was a prophet, and when he looked, man of God, when he looked at the seraphims, in his purity of prophetic office, he now saw that he was a sinner.
for the first time, he said, cleanse me. That's why I prayed again this morning. I said, cleanse me again, that I will touch the glory further and enter, hold on to it. You know, when you hold an electric current, a wire with voltage, as you hold on to it, it holds on to you and then it shakes you. I say, I want to lay hold on that glory so that it will burn off some things again. So that my daily life, I get a consistent compliment anywhere I move to a new place. They don't even know that I do this. They just say, I've not seen your kind before. I can't count how many times I've heard that compliment from different people in different states, even far away in the north. See, literally, I've never seen anybody like you. Why? They are lines. You just go. I say, don't use that kind of word if you are talking to me. If you are convert, there are words that are blacklisted. If you use it too, you just see me just walk away from you. One of the laws people around me know is like you don't lie. And when you are trying, I say, you know, you can't lie. You don't tell lies. I know you don't tell lies. It's a prophecy over your life. Dishonesty is done away with first. It's not like creating a law. It comes from inside. Some of you are young and some of you will grow. We are about to wrap up now. Now listen, we have entered a zone now. I knew there's going to be the move of the Spirit. I sense a flame on the tongue. A what? I want to teach you how to enter. They are going to pass a wind of God. Something's about to go on now. It has already started. I want to inform you so that you take it. So just put your book aside. It's time now to go into practice. Let an encounter occur with you.
Oh. Fire from your throne.
the glory of the Lord shall be a ramekin of tribesmen. From the glory of the Lord shall be a civilization of the glory of the Lord. Tribesmen from the spirit, glory of the Lord. So take fire from your throne, purify my heart. Take fire from your throne, lay it on my heart. Take fire from your throne, purify my life. Take fire from your throne, purify my thoughts. Take fire from your throne, purify my tongue. Take fire from your throne.
In my day,
I'm a
draftsman.
In the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. Yes. Oh. I've been numbered in the tribesmen. I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered in the tribesmen. Ooh, I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered in the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory. Sing with me. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. I've been numbered with the tribesmen of the glory of the Lord. So take fire from your throne, lay it on my heart. Take fire from your spirit, cleanse my life. Whatever besets you, whatever is a weakness, anger, whatever it is, cleanse me of this. I've tried on my own accord, but I can't. It seems to have power over me, but no, your power is greater. Cleanse me. Cleanse me of this, then I will be pure. David said, cleanse me of this sin, then I will be pure. Cleanse me of this besetting sin. Cleanse me of this habit. Cleanse me of this lifestyle. Purify my appetite and my tongue.
We see wisdom because it has to be built. It takes wisdom to know God. It takes wisdom to understand the structure of God.